All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town and SportsMappers? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. It's Joel, it's Nick in studio, it's Barry in OKC doing a little side comedy and doing his day job from a luxurious concert hall in OKC. Is that the best I could do, Barry? Sorry.
That was not great, but all right.
Excellent.
You call it a side job, like I'm out here. I don't know, collecting cans.
Okay, well, I was just trying to say, I was trying for the listeners who want to believe that this is your main priority, that...
It is my main priority. This is my job.
But your comedy is also a big job. You're banging on me for saying that it's on your side job doing some comedy, but they're both basically your jobs.
Yeah, but it's not like I have my main chick and my side chick. This is like a... I'm like Lou Williams.
You're not Lou Williams, or you are.
I am Lou Williams, but I don't have a side chick. A side chick is like you keep the side chick away from the main chick and vice versa.
Whoever you're with is the main squeeze.
It's equal. I love them both equally. I do. I would never want to give up one for the other. I love them both so much.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
I can love both, right?
I didn't say there's... Hey, like I said, I told you why I said what I said. I build it because everybody wants to believe that this is the end-all, be-all for you and that comedy is just something you do on the side. They don't understand you.
I've never heard anyone say that other than you when you just brought it up.
Okay. You're getting sensitive about it, so just let's just move on. Jesus.
I feel like you made that up. Like, you feel that.
Okay, it was all me. Can we move on now? Jesus.
Well, you're the one that brought it up, but now when you want to move on, that's fine. Hunter wanted to know about Dez and the Browns. We already talked about that, Hunter. I think it was hour two. Was it hour two?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was hour two.
Yeah.
Don't catch me lying. Somebody did ask about Earl Thomas, and is he using the Cowboys as leverage to get a better deal from Seattle? I don't know what he's doing. He's using holding out as leverage, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line is, as we've talked about, he's a hell of a player, and Seattle is... for all intents and purposes, blowing it up. At least the Legion of Boom is going to be blown up. And you know, Sherman's gone.
Well,
and guys are retired. Yeah. So the thing is Seattle's got a decision to make because he is one of the, if not the best safety in the league, and he deserves to be, he wants to be paid like it. And if they are going to, you know, rebuild and start over, then, you know, it's kind of like we're talking about in baseball with guys trying to, you know, move guys to try and get prospects when they're rebuilding. Teams trying to rebuild are going to try and get prospects for their top frontline players. And Seattle needs to consider that. He's made it very clear. He went into the Cowboys locker room last year that he wants to be, he's a UT guy. He would love to be with the Cowboys. But I'm sure anybody that pays him, he's willing to go.
Oh, no doubt. He will go where the money is. That's why he's threatening to hold out. He wants money. And I don't blame him. I mean, you're only going to get so many chances, especially with the Legion of Boom breaking up now. And get paid, young man. Get that cash.
Yeah.
Somebody had something to say about your utility issue.
Okay.
Hey, and this was on the text line. Hey, Joel, I don't know who runs the Sugarland area, but the guy who calls in streetlight jobs for the city of Houston is named Philip at North Houston Pole Line. Probably won't get you anywhere, though. This guy is a D.
Okay.
That's from a utility locator.
Pretty sure we didn't need any of that then, right?
Well, I don't know.
Because he's doing the north line, so even if I called old Phil, even if he wasn't a D, being on the south in Sugar Land, those would be some pretty heavy-duty strings he'd have to pull.
Well, he might know the guy, though.
Well, I think based on everything that we've gathered, Joel was getting messed with, and he should call back and say, hey, that's what I think you should do.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott in Deer Park sent me a message and said he retired from Center Point and, needless to say, has connections. So I'm going to explain that to him as well.
There you go.
I like that. That's why the suspects are getting things done. Love
Rumble,
that.
Young man, rumble. So Pro Football Focus came out with this AFC South preview.
Okay.
I got bad news for Texans fans. Now, here's the deal with the way Pro Football Focus does it. This is what they said specifically. Our projections make use of the Pro Football Focus ELO rating system, which is an iterative, backwards-looking algorithm. I know that's a lot of words to digest at once. It just basically means math. That leverages their grading system to yield a schedule-adjusted power ranking that can predict roughly 3/4 of the variances when it comes to a Vegas spread. Essentially, what they're saying is they've got science and numbers to kind of back up what Vegas is telling you. All right.
Okay.
So all that said, the baseline projections for the AFC South total wins. You want to guess who's number one?
The Jaguars.
Jacksonville. Yep. At 8.1. Tennessee at 7.7. Indy at 7.7. And Houston at 7.3.
Really?
Dead last.
That's a bit surprising. Yes.
Probability of winning the division, Jacksonville at 31.7%, Indy at 25.1%, Tennessee at 24.4%, Houston at 18.8%. They're saying it's not even close, basically.
Well, they also are saying that they know more than most, because all of those assumptions have to be made that Andrew Luck's going to be healthy and back the way he was.
Something, right? But they're using math, and that sometimes you don't. It's like you always bitch at me about stats. Sometimes the eye test tells you otherwise, right?
Yeah.
Probability of making playoffs: the Jags have a 42.4% chance according to their math. Mm-hmm. Indy with a 34.9% chance. Tennessee 34.5, and Houston 27%. Finally, probability of winning a Super Bowl. Jacksonville at 2.3%, Indy at 1.7%, Tennessee 1.4%, and your Houston Texans, according to Pro Football Focus, have a whopping 0.9% chance of winning the Super Bowl. So there's hope. Who's excited for the football season, huh? What?
Well, I could ask you for more information, because I could be, but yeah, that's not. And here's the funny thing. Did you guys think about this? When we start talking about Vegas, right, and we start talking about the odds, and obviously Fred and AJ have their grasp all over that for everybody that gets into the gambling thing. But from the Kawhi Leonard situation to some of these other odds-making things, don't you find it odd that like 2 weeks before the trade went through between the Spurs and the Raptors, that the Raptors catapulted everyone to be the leading spot for Kawhi Leonard to end up after everybody was saying Philly and Boston and the Lakers and everything else? These Vegas guys, they know things.
Nah, they do. They have to know, or they would be losing their ass. I'm saying, but business
that's
anymore.
Like the Andrew Luck thing. Someone's got to know something somewhere that he's going to be all right by the time the regular season starts.
Yeah, that does sound, yeah. That's they said he was cleared and he'll be playing in the first game, so. Maybe they do know more than they're leading on. Yeah,
first
knows?
Preseason game anyway, and that'd be a complete waste if you did that. But God forbid he gets hurt. But go ahead, and Indy will Indy. But yeah, that's crazy to me that they have those projections. Did you look at everybody or just the division? Because I'd be curious on the Cowboys
that was just
too.
I just found that article on Pro Football Focus. I can go back and see if they have others. I will take a gander at the break.
Because I would think that a lot of Cowboys fans want to figure out if it's going to be the Cowboys of last year or the year before, and I might have a passing interest in the NFC North. That's just yeah. You know, it's the way we do things.
But that Kyle Brandt guy said that he predicted the Texans to win it all. Did you see that on NFL Network?
What?
Yeah, Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network from that morning show with that really hot girl, Kay Adams.
Testing, huh? AM football or Good Morning Football?
Whatever. Whatever morning show. I think it's called
Good Morning Football, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Good Morning Football.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
did
he
have a drug test on that show?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, man, that guy's like a legit Bears fan and pretty knowledgeable in terms of football. Not that I think that's going to happen, but he did predict the Texans to win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, the other side.
And isn't his dad Gil Brandt? We have to look that up. Gil Brandt, the longtime executive
writer,
Cowboys.
And NFL. I didn't know that. I just noticed that right now until you mentioned it, because it is spelled the exact same way as Gil Brandt. So it might be his son. I don't
Possible.
Know.
Speaking of the NFL Network, Nick, you bring them up. But is this shocking to anyone that they're now being sued again for sexual harassment?
No. Not a shocker.
Yeah. This just coming out 8 months after the initial lawsuit that indicted Eric Davis, Donovan McNabb, Marshall Faulk, Ike Taylor, Heath Evans, and that hasn't been settled yet either way. Now this new suit comes out and alleges that Michael Irvin had to be repeatedly reminded by a makeup artist to not touch her, one of the many allegations made in the latest lawsuit filed over misconduct at the NFL Network. It gets worse. It also implies that Eric Davis, who was mentioned in the first lawsuit, would rub his genitals against the makeup artist.
What?
Yeah, just passing by. And that she was subjected to ongoing and continuing sexual harassment by current and former on-air talent and employees of the NFL Network. It also said that she claims the network didn't take her complaint seriously until a second woman complained, which was the suit that was filed earlier. But according to the woman before she left, that Davis aggressively stood over her and made her feel physically at risk, while Michael Irvin made inappropriate gestures, comments to her, and even once grabbed her by the waist. Not a good look for the league's official network.
Nope. Didn't that happen before?
That's what I'm saying. Like, 8 months ago, the initial suit was filed by either a wardrobe consultant or a makeup artist, and now Aaron McParland is a makeup artist who is making the second suit come up. And the crazy thing is, you know, you don't hear anything of any of the other guys, but yet Eric Davis is still appearing and popping up in more ways than one, popping up in the second suit as well. But ever since the first suit was and the claims were made, Donovan McNabb can't find a job working anywhere. ESPN had dropped him because he had moved there. Marshall Faulk is non-existent. So all the other guys haven't worked. Michael Irvin's still employed by the network. ESPN dropped Davis, too.
What was the one
too.
Where the guy gave out the vibrators or whatever? Who was that?
That was Warren Sapp. That was part of the first one.
Yeah. Okay. So that was part. That's what I was gonna. That's the one I was referencing. This has happened before at the NFL Network.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a really bad look.
And there's, man.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
By the way,
treat yourself.
Yeah.
Jeez.
By the way, I need Jerry to stop.
I saw him.
He's trying
Twitter.
Trying to be funny.
I told him to go back to what he was doing before he started to chime in after listening. So.
It's not his day today. Lots of swings and misses up there.
And if we call him out, then we're going to have White Magic and OU Mike, and it's going to be a festival. We know how those things turn out.
That's right.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're in the final hour of the show. We appreciate you on both SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. But before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about the people at Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy is a locally owned and operated energy company doing great things. I signed up with Infuse Energy about a year ago, and I kid you not when I tell you in the dog days of summer when it gets the hottest outside, my air conditioner's on high, I have saved hundreds of dollars a month thanks to Josh Pesikoff and his staff, and you can too. All you got to do is call 844-INFUSE to 844-463-8732 or log on to infuseenergy.com. But I suggest you call because you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. Right off the top, they're going to ask you questions as much as you're asking them because they want to pinpoint the best possible rate for you. And the way they do that is they find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and the best plan and program for you. They also are never going to try to screw you over or trick you just to get you on the dotted line. That means that if there is a company out there that can beat their prices, and it doesn't happen often, but it can happen, they will make sure to tell you that as well because they want to be a trusted friend. And that means that even if you don't do business with them right away, they'd like you to be doing business with them at some time down the road. It's just building valuable relationships by being honest. And that's something that you should all take pride in. It's an affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. And it's 100% green energy at your fingertips. Give them a call, 844-INFUSE2. Or infuseenergy.com. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of The Usual Suspects, simulcasting SportsBet 94.1, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, Joel, on a Thursday, kicking around a lot of topics. We have some calls waiting, Barry, so unless you want to catch up on some texts or such, we can get to the calls.
Well, I did my homework for you. You said you wanted to know what the NFC North projections were based on the Pro Football Focus forecasted numbers using algorithms and science and a bunch of nerd stuff.
Yeah.
Along with Vegas. So I've gone out and found that for you. Now, I couldn't find the NFC East. I don't think that's been released yet.
Okay.
They did have the South out as well, if anyone cared about that. I think Clarence would.
Mm-hmm.
But your NFC NFC North,
mm-hmm.
Here it is. You ready?
Yes.
Total wins, Minnesota, 8.78, Green Bay, 7.93, Detroit, 7.9, and Chicago, 7.33.
Hmm.
Now, probability of winning the division.
Yeah.
Minnesota 38%, Green Bay 23%, Detroit 23%. So you and the Tigers.
Yeah, Lions. I'm not digging Lions and Tigers at all. Okay.
Chicago 16%. Probability to make it the playoffs, Minnesota 50%. Detroit 35%. Green Bay 34%. Chicago 25%. Probability of winning the Super Bowl? Minnesota 5%, Green Bay 3%, Detroit 2%, and Chicago 1%. How does that feel if you're a Texans fan? Chicago has a better percentage chance of winning the Super Bowl than the Texans do, according to this.
Well, I'm with the Texans fans. This whole thing's a bunch of hogwash for science nerds. So
just
throw that out. Throw it out now. Ridiculous. Right.
But just a second ago, you were like, man, they must know something we don't. They're really on
to Vegas it. Does. Suck. Not scientists. Vegas. Your algorithms aren't being bet on. I already said, I think I said it with Matt yesterday. I don't like being the one that everybody's predicting to be in the Super Bowl, like a lot of people have recently about Packers, Jaguars, Romo, and other people. But I also don't want to be the rat's ass bottom of the barrel like that said. So, you know, somewhere in the middle is fine.
Jerry's butthurt, by the way.
Good. He should be.
See his tweet? I told him, please stop. He goes, yeah, because some messages from a guy that knows a guy named Phil, who's a D, who works at a utility pole, is funnier than my sweet, hilarious content. Good day, sirs.
Jeez.
This is hurtful, and I won't stand for it.
Jerry's on his way to Costco.
Jerry, we love you. You know that. By the way, at the listener appreciation party, Jerry's going to be doing a free threading of eyebrows. It's going to be fun. That may not be true.
Not waxing, but threading. Because you have to get every follicle the right way. Lawrence, calling back. We appreciate you. Now you want to talk Texans. What's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing? I was sitting there listening to Barry talking about the Las Vegas odds. Even with Andrew Luck back, I don't think they're better than the Texans, because if you look at it, we had the best injury reserve. If we had an injury reserve team, we had one of the best. So if all our players come back, and, you know, one player come back for the coach, I don't think they'll even match up. I'll hang up and listen.
Nah, I mean, he brings up a good point. If you can't assume that Andrew Luck is going to be back to form as much time as he missed, and then not assume that J.J. Watt and Merciless and everybody else that missed time on the Texans isn't, including Deshaun Watson. So it kind of felt like that, but I'm sure that there are other factors that are going into that, including the caliber of quarterback. I mean, I'm not knocking Deshaun Watson, don't get me wrong, but I think Andrew Luck is a more proven commodity. But that Colts defense needs a little bit of help. The Texans, you know, if they're healthy, could have an elite or close to elite defense. If everybody plays well, I'll say it. If everybody plays like they're capable of playing, the Texans defense could be elite.
But look at that. I mean,
there's a lot of unknowns on both of those. But I'm with him in that. I don't think the gap between the two is that big.
Right, and when you're comparing the two teams, the Texans, the one thing that they did have, and again, the injuries factored in, but their defense was, I would say, above average, and if they're healthy, top 10, top 5. Not only is Indy not top 10, top 5, but you look at the guys that they lost this year. They lost inside linebacker John Bostic to the Steelers. They lost outside linebacker Barcavius Mingo to the Seahawks. They lost defensive tackle Jonathan Hankins. They lost the cornerback Rashawn Melvin. So they lost a lot of guys on their defense, too. And looking at what they added, not anybody on the defensive end with the sides of Danico Autry from the Raiders for the most part and a couple of backups. But other than that, the Colts defense hasn't been staunch. Vontae Davis is gone. Look, I just think if you're just looking at comparing the two teams, the Texans have to be, even with Luck, if we assume he's going to play, I still put the Texans above the Colts.
What I found interesting about it is that they had the Colts, it seemed like the Colts across the board were better than Tennessee. And I just don't see how that's possible either. I would think that to me, this is Jacksonville and Tennessee. And then there's a fall off between those two and then Houston and Indy. And I don't know, maybe I'm putting too much stock in Tennessee and maybe not enough in Indy. I could be wrong. Who knows? But I just felt like this was almost flipped. I mean, I think Jacksonville is the class of the AFC South right now. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And they're probably the closest to, you know, a bona fide playoff team that exists, even with Blake Bortles. But the rest of them, I don't know. I think that they had it all reversed in the wrong way, kind of. But who knows?
I tend to agree with you.
What are you going to do?
All right, Michael wants to get in here, too. He wants to talk about the Astros trade. Michael, what's up? Michael, you there? Michael? Going once, going twice, he gone.
Okay, good call.
Brought it good quick, call. Lots of energy. I liked it. He was right to the point. Got
probably,
it all done.
Better than what Jerry's call would be if he were to call in.
God, you
I
got
would
that
say
right.
that.
I mean, aside from the hi-o, I mean, I don't think anything he could bring to the table could make up for the cluster of bad tweets he's had. Holy cow.
It's not, yeah. It's not been his day, for sure. It happens, no. though, Jerry. You know we love you.
Some days. Yeah, exactly.
We got quiet.
Yeah, because you know exactly how I feel. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We got 30 minutes to go on the big show. That means that we are on the clock. We'll turn it over to the Blitz at 4. They'll take you home till 7. You don't have to do a darn thing. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey guys, you know how we like to do it around here. We play the name game. We play it Monday through Friday, and each day one of the lucky shows gets to give away a prize to someone if your name links up and syncs up with whatever name is selected as the name of the day. We select two names a day. If one of them is your name and you are the first caller, you get the prize. Today's prize, a pair of tickets to Local Brews and Local Grooves at the House of Blues, Houston's ultimate craft beer and music festival, featuring over 20 local craft breweries and more than 40 beers and rare releases. 10 local bands, DJs, brew-inspired pub food pairings, and more. Tickets are from $15 to $65. Tasting wristbands included in select ticket packages and at the event. You must be 21 and up to win. You can contact the House of Blues if you don't win, but we are not the show to give away those tickets today. But there's good news. They have not yet been given away. That means they will give them away on the Blitz. Here's a pro tip for you. Tune in at about 6:30 for your next opportunity to win the name game. And there you have it.
Pro tip. Good luck.
So, boys, I know this is my forte, and I was going to break it down at length with algorithms and Vegas, but there was some news out of MMA UFC that you guys might want to talk about. One thing that was interesting to me was at least I knew the name Nick Newell because you guys had brought it up on the show and told me the story. And also on the Conor McGregor front, at least he won't be doing any jail time for beating up a bus.
Yeah, both different, but similar, right? Like just a train wreck of a thing going on in the Conor McGregor saga. It's weird though that he had two felonies dropped. It's good to have money, boy. It's good to have money. Basically, he cops a plea deal, and under the terms of the deal, he's required to perform 5 days. Of community service and undergo up to 3 days of anger management. Jeez. That's just weak. Like, that dude is so lucky that he's rich and famous. So lucky. Because I can tell you right now, if any of the three of us were to do that to a bus, we would be put under the jail. No. As many people that got injured on that bus and the way it went down, we would all be under the jail.
Yeah, because one guy couldn't fight that night, right? Because the glass and all the things that happened, and he threw a hand truck through the window.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it was Michael Chiesa. I think orders of protection have been issued for Ray Borg, Michael Chiesa, and like one other fighter. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people.
See them on the same card.
No, probably not. Or, I mean, I guess they can, and they have to be professional. I mean, what are they going to do, start a fight and rehash this all over again? That was like a big deal. I mean, he affected a lot of fighters, and I expected it to go down. I expected it to go down somewhere like this. He did have 12 criminal charges, so it does make it a little bit more like, wow, and then he gets dropped down to one charge that he pleads guilty to. So he gets.
That's what I'm saying. You go from felonies to 8 days total of community service and anger management. You got off easy.
No question about it.
Two of those felony charges carried a maximum of 7 years in jail. So, I mean.
Any chance he was ever looking at those 7 years?
No.
No
zero.
Chance at all. But us? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we did that? Yeah. We'll be. Yeah, we would be talking to you in a few years down the road.
The Nick Newell thing is kind of sad. That dude's been lobbying to get into the UFC for a really long time. And Dana White swore. But now, this is the same Dana White that said he would never let women fight in the UFC. And then he saw that he could make money off of that. So he changed his mind. Nick Newell was a guy who wanted to fight in the UFC. Dana White said it was too dangerous for a guy with no hand to be fighting in the UFC. Then he finally gets his shot on the Contender Series and lost. So unfortunately for him, as of right now at least, his opportunities have come to a halt in getting a UFC contract. I am of the belief, though, Nick, at some point, the UFC seems to be somewhat desperate for ratings and pay-per-view sales and interest. I think that at some point they figure out how to capitalize on this kid and bring him in and put him on a card.
Yeah, and I think they should, because you talk about a guy who deals with more obstacles than the average MMA fighter. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, had to go on the regional circuit. And the first thing you got to do, if you've never seen Nick Newell fight and you're a promoter, you gotta bring up the fact that, look, I might be looked at as a promoter who's just trying to put on a freak show. So he had to prove himself more that he's a legit fighter than he's a legit fighter despite his you know, his condition or however you want to describe it. So
His disability.
And he's 32 years old. It took him like 15 years to get at this level, and he was so emotional. The guy was so hard on himself. And I saw the fight live. He almost finished a fight with a submission. He was losing the striking battle. But he almost got caught. He almost caught the guy. I believe his name was Alex something. He almost caught him in a guillotine choke. So, I mean, the guy wants to fight. He was so emotional. It was so hard for him to hold his tears back because he was so
passionate.
So hurt. Yeah. Like, he didn't. I mean, he wasn't using any excuses. He was mad at himself. He thought he could do better. And, you know, I think they should. I think Barry brings up a good point. I think if it there's still money to be made off this guy. Plus, he's a decent fighter. But it was on the Contender Series, so hopefully he gets another opportunity.
And it's why they tell you never leave it in the hands of the judges, because then it's out of your control. If you have a guillotine locked in and you can finish the fight, you have to finish the fight. That's just how it goes. And I he was emotional because, like I said, he's been building up. This was the pinnacle. This is what all the hard work and the blood, sweat, and tears and the anguish and everything has come down to this decision, and it doesn't go your way, and you just feel like, well, all of this was for nothing now.
Only a second
loss. That's heartbreaking, man. Huh?
Only a second loss, though. So, I mean, he's 14 and 2. He's only lost by knockout once, and that was like 5 years ago. So, I mean, you know, that's a appealing record in this day and age in MMA. You know, you're 14 and 2. It's not a record, you know, that's a really good record. So hopefully he that's enough to kind of give him at least another opportunity. Maybe if not in the UFC, if not in the Octagon, at least on the Tuesday night Contender Series. So
yeah, something like that. I think there's room for him for sure. Even just for the novelty of it, I think that they'll figure out how to make money off the kid. A couple of text messages, if you guys are cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, hey, Joel and Barry, I went to Vegas, put $100 down on the Texans winning the Super Bowl this year. How much money would I win? Well, I think to answer that, we would need to know what odds you got. I know the odds for the Texans winning have in the last week have ranged between 16-1 to 20-1. So if you got, say, 16-1, you put $100 down, you should win $1,600. Yeah. So it just depends on the odds. I have two different places right now. I'm looking at VegasInsider.com. Surprisingly, they have the Texans at 20-1, but that's ahead of the Jags. That's ahead of way ahead of the Titans and the Colts as well. So,
see, I would trust Vegas more than I trust the algorithms or whatever that scientific mumbo jumbo you have. It may be. I'm not going to completely admit that, but it might be.
Here's a surprise, though. This VegasInsider.com.
Yeah.
Texans have the third highest odds of winning the AFC Championship. Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Well, they're tied, I should say. Let me clarify. The Patriots are 3-1. The Steelers are 11-2. The Texans, Jags, and Chargers all have the same odds of winning the AFC at 9-1.
Yeah, I don't see it that close. I don't see them.
Yeah, I could see it maybe in the next tier where like the Chiefs are 10-1, the Broncos, Raiders, Ravens, or Broncos and Raiders are 14-1.
Right.
I could probably see something like that maybe, but that's pretty high. But that's good if you're a Texans fan. You should be pumped about
that's
that.
That's what I said. And you're based on what Vegas knows and their insiders. That's good intel.
Your Packers,
yes,
over in the NFC Championship,
yes.
Vikings and Eagles are 11-2 mm-hmm. odds of winning. The Rams are 13-2, and then your Packers check in at 8-1.
That's pretty fair. I would go with that.
Not bad.
Yeah,
ahead of the Falcons and Saints. That's you got to be happy about that because I thought I would have had the Falcons and Saints ahead of the Packers.
Yeah, but I mean, there's obviously with Rodgers being hurt last year, you got to see that he's okay and what they've done with Nelson out. But the bigger thing for me is like the Rams, which Jared Goff are you getting? Year one, year two, is he going to be able to bounce back? And then they got to solve this Aaron Donald situation where he wants to be not just the highest paid defensive player, he wants to get that quarterback money too. So we'll see if, and now he says, unless a long-term deal is worked out, he's not touching the field again for the Rams. So we got to see how that works out too. But I think otherwise, you know, Matt brought it up yesterday, and it's a valid point. How is everybody poo-pooing on the Eagles when it looks like they didn't do anything but get better?
Right.
So,
yeah, pretty strange.
You see, by the way, before we get off of football, John Gruden said that he believes so much in what he can do and what he's going to do with the Raiders that if he doesn't get it done and get them back to, you know, the notoriety and the playoffs, he'll give his salary back. That's an idiot right there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's stupid. Chris Householder said, go Vikings. Joel, what are we putting on that head-to-head bet? Head-to-head bet?
I don't know. The belt's got to be part of it.
And then somebody said, Barry, you're a G for still hosting from OKC. I hate listening to shows with fill-ins. I love your show. There you go.
There you go.
I'm a G. You guys just didn't know that.
I love your show, too.
You know what he meant.
Yes, I do. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. What they want, I don't know. They're all ripped up and ready to go. They're bumming in the straight line.
Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we appreciate you, the listeners, following along with the show. Hopefully we entertained you along your workday. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's the Usual Suspects. One final segment before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz. Don't forget, they'll be giving away the name game today as well. Barry, I assume we got some texts from this gentleman, but we have yet to hear from him today. Thankfully, his name's not Jerry, because we don't need that kind of torture. OU Mike is on hold. OU Mike, what's up?
So much going on in the NFL and former NFL players, all the accusations. It compelled me to sit down and write a little ditty. I'm probably going to need Barry to get over on the trap set. Drop me a little beat, kind of like a doom-doom-doom-doom, something like that. But anyway, all right, here it goes. Here, take a pound of crab legs. In fact, not here, brother man, take two. 2 pounds is a loss for me, but it's no big deal to you. Go head on, Mr. Winston. Mr. Winston, yeah. Go head on, Mr. Winston.
I was just waiting for the laser beam. I thought I had. I got to tell you, I had some very serious concerns that he was going to try and cover every story that's been prevalent in the NFL, and that was going to be a long call. But thankfully, he just stuck to Jameis Winston. But boy,
all right, now I've got to give it a 7 out of 10. It was very creative, not timely necessarily, but very creative. It's still not as good as "Let's go to Luke and Bamute." When he did that one. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
That was probably one of his best calls, if not his best call.
Let Luke and Bamute win?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was good, though. Mr. Winston for Mr. Wendell, not bad. And then he mixed in the crab legs, and that was strong. That was very strong. Not very timely. That's why he didn't get an 8 or a 9. But very, very creative, nonetheless.
Okay.
Am I the only one here?
Yep. Nick?
Yep.
Yep. Nick, you go ahead.
I'll just leave you two at it. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, you guys suck. You guys are just, you're killing him for no reason. I enjoyed that thoroughly. Oh, you, Mike.
I thought it was, I didn't think it was that bad. I liked it.
Full of haterade.
Okay. You know how we do it. Barry, look, good thing you're on your diet, by the way. I found this story. Okay. I don't know if you saw it or not. But a girl had to have her gallbladder operated on because she was eating.
What does that do, by the way?
Isn't the gallbladder like doesn't have like a really useful purpose? It's just there.
I don't know. What is it? That's why I'm asking. I don't know what the gallbladder does.
Here's where it comes
is it like
up.
A backup bladder? Like if your regular bladder is in the shop, you can use your gallbladder?
No, I think it's more about your digestive system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
digesting
stuff. Well, there goes that.
So, as the story goes, the 17-year-old daughter of a woman told a television station that she had been eating 4 large bags of hot Cheetos per week. And it turns out that it's not good for the body. Who knew? The teenager in Memphis underwent an emergency surgery to remove her gallbladder after experiencing stomach issues. Her mother, Renee Craighead, said, blaming spicy snacks for the health scare. When my daughter had to have the surgery, I knew I had to tell everybody about it. Every time I'd go out, she'd say, bring me back some hot Takis or bring me back some hot chips. I want to make her happy. I brought them back. But then she started feeling sick to her stomach. She was rushed into the emergency room, then rushed into surgery. And the doctor said the chips caused the digestive issues. The doctor says he actually sees about 100 kids a month easily. What are they doing in Memphis?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, in Memphis, what are they? Is that the nutritious diet these days? 4 bags of hot Cheetos a week?
I think it is. I think it's the diet in a lot of high schools and middle schools for sure. Yep.
Are we talking big grab bags or full size?
It says 4 large bags of hot Cheetos per week.
That's a lot of chips.
Yeah, it is.
How happy do you want to make her, man? Jeez.
Well, how big is she otherwise?
And how? I was gonna say, how big do you want to make her?
Yeah.
Too?
I mean. You don't want her with a shoehorn to get in the bathtub, do you?
I'm not eating 4 big bags of chips in a week. That's a lot of damn chips.
Plus, I've never understood the obsession with, like, even when they did the screaming hot challenge or whatever, the chip challenge. Why do people enjoy chips that are that hot, spicy?
The hot Cheetos are pretty damn good, though. I will say that. You can do all kinds of things to them. Put limon on it. Limon.
Nora loves hot Cheetos.
Yeah, really?
So
put all kinds of stuff on.
So if Nora went to the grocery store and had her pick of any bag of chips on the shelf, she's taking hot Cheetos?
Probably, followed closely by Funyuns.
Oh. Hot Funyuns or regular Funyuns?
Just Funyuns, just regular Funyuns. Regular old-ass plain Funyuns.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you going to?
What's your chip of choice?
I like Doritos, but I like hot Cheetos. I like Funyuns. I don't like the hot version of the Funyuns.
You only get one. You get
Doritos
one bag.
Is probably...
It's like with your mom again. Your mom's like, you get 1 bag of chips, pick one, and that's it. And you never get chips again. What are you going with?
Doritos.
baked sour.
There's lots of
cheese, nacho cheese Doritos, the regular original.
All right. Well, that's just you. Just got the missionary of position of chips.
What would you pick, sir?
Cool Ranch Doritos.
Cool Ranch are pretty damn good. I love the baked Ruffles sour cream and cheddar. Oh, okay. So
why are you going baked? We're not talking health though. But we're not talking healthy. You shouldn't go with the baked.
I still love the way they taste.
No.
Oh, you like them?
Okay. Because I dig sour cream and cheddar Ruffles. Those are pretty strong. That would be like probably my number two choice.
Yeah.
But I like the Cool Ranch because you get all the Cool Ranch on the fingers.
Yep.
And then it's like bonus Cool Ranch, like for later. You can chew on a finger when you run out of chips, and it's just you get extra. It's like the nacho cheese. You get extra.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
So, yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong with
either. I love cheese puffs, by the way, like the cheesy poofs. I love those, but, man, they jack your teeth up.
Like Cheetos?
You get nine. Yeah, like the puffs, though, not the regular Cheetos.
How do the puffs jack your teeth up?
Yeah, how does it jack your teeth up? You mean the color?
They get stuck in your teeth.
Oh.
No, they get stuck in there. You get like a four-inch. It's like a four-inch
You got a big-ass gap in your teeth, man. Yeah. What are you talking about?
What are you following, the 32 chew rule, and they get stuck in your teeth? I mean, you're not chewing it that long.
All right, you guys are trying to make this like I'm making this up or have teeth issues. I will put my teeth up against either of you. I'll have you know.
You do whiten your teeth once a year, so I can't compete with
twice
that.
A year. And but
ever had a cavity?
I don't know why they
Have you ever had a cavity?
Oh yeah.
I have not.
Yuck mouth. Oh yeah.
I have not.
Well. Okay.
How's that possible?
I still put my
Didn't need braces either.
Really?
Yep. And I had a gap in my teeth growing up. That's a good point.
76 years, not one cavity.
Nope, 75. I don't turn 76 for a while now.
No, I've had a couple cavities.
Boy, I had yuck mouth. I spent many thousands of dollars getting my mouth right.
Why many thousands of, like, what were you doing? What were you eating? Cheese puffs, right?
I just wasn't flossing.
Oh.
Now I floss like three times a day, maybe more. Brush at least twice a day. I'm all on it. I'm all about that health, especially after I had braces. When you get braces as an adult, as a grown-ass man, and go through that embarrassment, you take care of your teeth after that. So,
but why? I mean, I guess. I think it used to be kind of a thing where if there was an adult with braces, you're like, what the hell's going on? I think it's more the norm now. I think people are okay with it. They accept it.
You still feel like an idiot. I mean, I was 30-something years old with braces. That's not a good look.
Okay.
Somebody said, hey, Barry, I want to place a $100 bet on the Texans to win the Super Bowl. Where else can I throw my money in the trash?
I think it's too soon. I think maybe not this year. But if Deshaun keeps progressing, you know, hopefully the future will be here before you know it.
And maybe not most years.
But if he plays.
Wanted to know, how do I convince?
Go ahead, my bad. Huh? Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
But if he plays like he did last season for the entire season. Do the Texans at least win a division at the very minimum?
They got a hell of a shot if he plays like that.
Mm-hmm. If they can put up points like that, defense can remain relatively healthy. Eagles fan here, what is a smarter bet? Eagles repeating or Texans making it to the AFC Championship game? Eagles repeating.
Easy.
Definitely the smarter bet.
Yeah.
How do I convince my wife? How do I convince my wife to spend $7,000 on a mower?
Talk to Barry.
Hell, I don't know. That's too much.
Tweet Barry offline.
That's way too much money for a mower.
Well, then set him up with a deal.
John Deere X300. You'll be good.
Okay. There you go. All right, my friend. Have a good show tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Barry will be back with us from OKC tomorrow. Nick and I will be back in studio. It's an FYI Friday. I assume, Barry, you'll have a comedian of the week teed up and ready to go as well. So we have that to look forward to. There you go. All right. So we will wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. You guys will be taking home till 7 with Fred, AJ, and Jong. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock on The Usual Suspects. Have a great night, everybody.